The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Well, here we are, off and running on another week of programming. Of course, at Armstrong College this week, they're in the midst of finals, the students are, and all the graduation festivities. As we head into this weekend, we'll have more to say about those events as the week unfolds. So a very busy week ahead, and these programs, of course, will keep rolling out right through all of the busyness. First, here an update on the calls or requests for literature here in the UK over the weekend. We had a little bit of a mix-up on the programs that played. The one that played Saturday was actually played here last weekend as well. CBS made a mistake and played America and Britain in Prophecy again. And yet even still, it generated 33 requests for the United States and Britain in Prophecy. So 33 more on top of what we got from last weekend. The total for that program or that weekend now stands at 194. So that means over the last week and a half, we've distributed 227 books, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy books, just in the past 9 or 10 days. So some good numbers there. Exciting to get that book into the hands of as many people in this part of the world as possible. Then on Sunday, yesterday, with the three airings that we had of the program on CBS Sunday morning, they got the program right this time. The Bible's bloodiest book that's been on the website for the past week. It's the one advertising the former prophets, and that generated 134 requests just from the Sunday ring-in and from the Sunday text requests and website requests. So for a little bit of a mix-up, again, those are some pretty good numbers from the weekend. 33 U.S. and Britons, and then 134 former prophets book, all totaled 167 for the weekend. Well, here in the U.K., there were a couple of headlines yesterday that made a pretty big splash in the press, both of them at the Daily Telegraph. This first one, Tim Ross's piece, titled Boris Johnson. It's an interview with the London mayor. The outgoing mayor. It says, Boris Johnson, the EU wants a superstate just as Hitler did. That caused quite a stir and brought a little bit of criticism on Mr. Johnson, the title in particular. The EU wants a superstate just as Hitler did. We'll talk more about that particular piece in the second segment. The other headline that's getting some news, too, is this one by Simon Heffer. It also appeared in the Telegraph. The title, The Fourth Reich is Here Without a Shot Being Fired. Some are somewhat shocked by this headline, as they were by another headline of his from 2011. Of course, if you're a regular listener to this program, or if you regularly view my father's TV program, The Key of David, there's nothing at all shocking about this headline. The Fourth Reich is here without a shot being fired. If it sounds familiar, well, it's because we've been saying this, we've been telling you about this for decades. In fact, my father, he has an article at thetrumpet.com from November 2011. The Fourth Reich is here. The exact same title. He just didn't add without a shot being fired. But he had the same title 5 years ago that Mr. Heffer uses for his Telegraph piece today. The Fourth Reich is here. That article that my father wrote from November 2011, the Trumpet magazine, It sprung from a Key of David program that was on the same subject. The Fourth Reich, you can search that on the website. It went to air September 25th in 2011, and this is how my father began the program. This is clip one.
Here are two of the most alarming headlines since World War II. The first headline, Rise of the Fourth Reich, How Germany is Using the Financial Crisis to Conquer Europe. That's from the Mail Online, August 17, 2011, by Simon Heffer, and these are mainstream outlets. Here's the next title. The Euro Crisis Will Give Germany the Empire It's Always Dreamed Of, by Peter Osborne, July 21st, 2011. And here is a far more alarming fact. We prophesied those very headlines 65 years ago.
That's right. We've been prophesying this for 65, nearly 70 years. More than 70 years, really. If you go back to what Herbert Armstrong was writing even before the Second World War ended. My father there referred to an article by Simon Heffer, the one he had in 2011, where he talked about the Fourth Reich. And then again, he did it this past weekend. I'll get to his article in just a second. But for more than seven decades, here we've been giving you headlines that no one else has. And now you see those same headlines today at the Daily Telegraph or that Daily Mail article. We referred to one last year from Der Spiegel. I mean, they just pop up over and again. I think I remember one from the Huffington Post that we focused in on last year as well. Like I say, if you've been listening to this program, you'll remember the stories. But how do you explain it? How do you explain it? The accuracy. How could we know so far in advance? My father gave a few excerpts from Mr. Armstrong's writings in that particular Key of David broadcast that I just played a clip from. This is what he said in clip two.
Notice what he wrote in 1953. Mr. Armstrong wrote this, "The peoples of Europe as a whole want a united Europe, and yet, without Germany, such a federation of nations is impossible." It's just impossible to have it without Germany being the force behind it. And that's what they are today, and they have conquered Europe financially, but it's going to lead to a lot more than that. A lot more than you could even dream of. And we need to understand it. We need to understand what God is saying in Bible prophecy, or we're going to suffer if we don't.
And that's the thing. I mean, we can understand it if we'll just look into what God says and believe it. Believe His truth. He said there, Germany's conquered Europe financially, and it's going to lead to a lot more than that. Now notice what Simon Heffer wrote at the Telegraph. This is from yesterday, right here in the UK. The Fourth Reich is here without a shot being fired. He says, 5 years ago, I wrote a piece referring to the control Angela Merkel exerted over Europe as the Fourth Reich. I was accused of a horrible breach of taste. He's talking about the article that we referred to 5 years ago, that we talked about on the Key of David, that we wrote about at thetrumpet.com. 5 years ago, I brought this up, and I was accused of a horrible breach of taste. Well, not by us. Not by the Trumpet. Not by the Key of David. But he was criticized here. He was criticized for saying it 5 years ago. And Heffer says today, however, when one looks at German power today, one realizes that when I wrote, she, Angela Merkel, had hardly even started. I mean, he said it in 2011. He said it 5 years ago, and Ms. Merkel was just barely getting going. As far as this economic dominance is concerned. And look at all that's happened since. That's what he's saying. The key to German success is this. It participates in a weak currency whose value would collapse without it, enabling its exports to sell far more cheaply than had it retained the Deutschmark. Therefore, it continues to grow in economic strength relative to its partners, including us, but especially those in the Eurozone, notably France and Italy. So the whole union set up in such a way that with each passing year, Germany gets stronger and stronger. Germany becomes more economically powerful. And the strength of the other member states is more and more diminished. It's reduced. Germany's already conquered Europe economically. You heard it with this work first. Now other voices are speaking that truth. You go back to, as I say, even before World War II ended, even before the war started, with the first issue of the Plain Truth magazine started by Herbert Armstrong. He was talking about the Holy Roman Empire back then. Of course, what happened in World War II was the sixth resurrection of that beast power. And the Bible prophesies of seven. The seventh resurrection is now forming. Heffer says at the Telegraph, any net exporter in the EU, which we are most certainly not, given our 24 billion pound trade gap with our partners in the first 3 months of 2016, also benefits hugely from the vast and incomprehensible welter of EU regulations on products and employment law, which keep external competitors at arm's length and pile costs on them if they wish access to the single market. He says here, this is the main statement I want to draw attention to, Germany is so rich and getting richer at the expense not least of its partners that it can afford to pretend globalization isn't happening. Well, we can't afford it, he goes on to say. We're not quite that rich. And he's in favor of getting out of the EU. But think about this. Germany is so rich, and it just gets richer. It's so rich, and it's getting richer. It's already conquered Europe financially, but it's going to lead to a lot more than that. There's this video making the rounds here in the UK ahead of the June 23rd referendum coming up. The video is titled Brexit. You can Google it if you'd like to see it. I think it's a little over an hour long. And again, this is some history that if you've been following this work, you're very familiar with it, I know. But still, it's just amazing to hear it as it's covered now by the mainstream media, by the major media. In this case, talking about some important history of what happened when World War II ended and Germany was buried in rubble. And then the miracle, as many call it, the miracle that happened thereafter. This is it's a fairly lengthy clip here, a couple, 3 minutes, I think it is, from this Brexit video that just came out last week and has, as I say, gotten a fair bit of attention over the weekend. This is clip 7.
The war had left Germany little more than smoking rubble. West Germany would receive some martial aid, but only less than half the amount sent to Britain.
At the end of the Second World War, Germany was a ruin. If you see the old footage, it was absolutely flattened.
Germany needed a miracle, and this was the man who performed it. In the first free elections after the war, Ludwig Erhard, the son of a shopkeeper, became Minister for the Economy, a post he held until 1963.
Ludwig Erhard began the Wirtschaftswunder, the economic miracle, by completely scrapping all of the controls that he'd inherited from the Third Reich. And he did this against the strong advice of his British superiors, you might say, in the occupied zone.
Erhard revolutionised the German economy because he just got rid of regulations on a massive scale. He got rid of production controls, price controls. He got rid of trade barriers.
They were happy to have open and free trade, a deregulated economy. They want to see industries stand on their own two feet, and those that can't must make way for those that can.
Germany was open to the world. You had much more free and easy entry into business and commerce and the professions in Germany. And the result was that the German economy became much more dynamic, much more innovative, and ultimately much, much more successful.
Just look how quickly Germany pulled itself off the floor.
Industrial production soared.
In Britain, there were shortages and rising prices. In Germany, goods were abundant and wages rose steeply.
The result for the ordinary person in Germany was sensational because the production of all consumer goods rose, the prices came down. Britain, who won the war, was still rationed for year after year after year, whereas Germany, who lost the war, rationing was abolished.
Before you know it, just a decade or two of this approach, and it's a powerhouse of Europe.
Contemporaries described it as a miracle. By the time Erhard left office, he had transformed Germany from a pile of smoking ruins to the third biggest economic power in the world.
Pretty amazing history there. And of course, the makers of this film are using that history as one of several examples that it gives that suggests we should go it alone, the UK. That, look, Germany was able to grow and prosper. Germany became very abundant. They got rid of all the regulations and such. And of course, that's one reason so many of those who support Brexit are so upset. They can't stand all the regulations put upon them by EU bureaucrats that weren't voted in, by the way. So they're pointing to this history, saying, look at Germany. Look what happened even after the war. I mean, they were able to turn it around, and so can we if we get out from underneath the authoritarian arm of the EU. And of course, we, in listening to that, would view that clip a little bit differently. Look at the miracle that happened. This is just recent history. I mean, as one individual in that clip brought out, the UK won the war. And look at where its power has gone. Germany lost the war. Germany, after World War II, was little more than smoking rubble, it said. This is amazing history for sure. And you know what's more amazing? You know what's a lot more miraculous than this dramatic turnaround for the nation of Germany after World War II? What's more remarkable still is that Mr. Armstrong was there talking about the rise of Germany to come out of that rubble, to come out of all of that destruction. We've played this clip for you before. This is from over 50 years ago, Mr. Armstrong talking about how he knew, why he knew, even back as early as the 1930s. This is clip number 5.
Well, greetings, friends around the world. Now, I've been telling our radio audience and readers of The Plain Truth that a political union of 10 nations in Europe would rise, resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. I was predicting this even before World War II began. Not many believed it then. Well, let me quote to you what I wrote in an article in The Plain Truth of July 1935, 4 years before World War II was started by Adolf Hitler. I'll just quote a little out of the center of that entire article that shows what the article was saying and what it was talking about. Listen, quote, out of the present Italy is to emerge a reincarnation of the once great and powerful Roman Empire by an alliance of 10 nations within its territory. That was 4 years before World War II began. Biblical prophecy revealed that it would start as an economic movement, that it would bring an era of unusual prosperity to Europe. It did start in March 1957, when 6 European countries, West Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Holland, and Luxembourg, signed the Treaty of Rome, creating what was called the EEC, that is, the European Economic Community. It has been known, of course, as the European Common Market, and it came into being, actual operation, that is, on January the 1st, 1958. Immediately, it began to bring economic prosperity to those 6 countries and has provided economic competition for Britain, for the United States, and for other countries around the world. For years, European nations have wanted to unite in a sort of United States of Europe. What they want is political union, but they've never been able to bring that about. While President de Gaulle of France lived, Germany would never have yielded to accept him as the political head of a union, including Germany, and the French would not accept a German. Long-range plans are already underway for a common currency in Europe, but other things are going to intervene in the meantime that I want to tell you about, and I predict that there will be a common currency a great deal sooner in Europe. Now, how did I know, as far back as 1927 even, that this coming United States of Europe would spring up in our time? I knew because it's revealed in biblical prophecy.
As far back as 1927. I mean, Simon Heffer took some flack for an article he wrote in 2011 calling it the Fourth Reich. And so I'm sure Mr. Armstrong took a fair bit of ridicule. I'm sure he faced a lot of criticism. We get it to this day. People that are blind. People that can't understand why we're drawing attention to what's happening in the heart of Europe. People who think Europe is finished. People who don't see that Germany has conquered Europe financially. People that don't see or understand that the turmoil and the trials and the strain of this oversized union are only going to make it stronger in the end, as it downsizes. I mean, even still, it's a mixture of iron and clay, as it says in Daniel 2. So it's always going to be a struggle to bring it all together and to keep it together. But look at what's happened already just with the economy in Europe and the hapless, helpless nations that are seeing what little power they once had just evaporate away as Germany gets stronger and more prosperous. Now, going back to what you just heard there from Mr. Armstrong, I mean, he made those comments more than 50 years ago. And he knew. He knew because of prophecy that a powerful 10-nation union would rise out of Europe. And notice he said there that it would start as an economic movement, but it would lead to more. That's what my father was saying in 2011. They've already conquered Europe financially, but it's going to lead to a lot more than that. Who else was talking about this little European economic community, as it was called in the 1950s? Who else was talking about that as the very beginning stages of the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire? Only Herbert W. Armstrong. Who else could say in the 50s, in the 1960s? Oh, of course, there's going to be a common currency. Of course there will be. And eventually there's going to be political union. East and West Germany are going to have to unite for this to happen. But that's going to happen. And of course it did in 1989. There will be a United States of Europe, a union of 10 nations, Mr. Armstrong said. And of course he based it on Revelation 17 and Daniel 2, among other prophecies as well. And how did he know? Well, because of that, because of prophecy. Back to Simon Heffer's piece at the Telegraph from yesterday. The Fourth Reich is here, he wrote in his title, without a shot being fired. A shot hasn't even been fired yet. Notice this. David Cameron said last week, this is what Simon Heffer's talking about here at this point in his article. But Mr. Cameron, who wants to keep the UK in the European Union, said that if the UK left, that it would make the likelihood of war increase. Heffer says it was not just deeply offensive, but ironic that Mr. Cameron should last week have evoked the idea of another world war in his latest intelligence-insulting act of hysteria aimed at making us vote to stay in the EU. It's not just that our fathers and grandfathers fought in two world wars to allow Britain the right to continue to rule itself rather than to be ruled by Germans. Mr. Cameron plainly won't admit that German domination of the EU means it has conquered without war, and signing up to the EU is signing up to the Fourth Reich. Signing up to the EU is signing up to the Fourth Reich. And just think on these comments coming from a columnist right there at the Telegraph. This is not the plain truth. This is not the Trumpet magazine. Well, the economic war that's been going on, that Germany has dominated, that Germany has won, it is going to lead to a lot more, just like my father said in that Key of David broadcast. Another hot war is coming, whether the UK stays in or not. It's coming. But at least Mr. Heffer here has some insight into the problem with the heart of Europe. German domination. This has been their history. That's just history. Margaret Thatcher talked about that. Simon Heffer, this is one last bit from his article. Ask the Greeks if you think I exaggerate. Germany runs Europe without firing a shot. It forces far weaker partners to stay in a currency zone that is crippling them and uses its economic muscle to dictate immigration and other key policies. And if you believe the Germans won't take a UK vote to stay in as a signal to continue and intensify their control over the EU and to make us help pay for its baleful effects, then you aren't paying attention. But see, that's just the thing. So many people aren't paying attention. Now, we don't know which way the vote's going to go. It appears as though the Brexit movement is getting some momentum here, even though it's going up against a lot. There's a lot of big, powerful organizations that want very much for Britain to stay in the EU. You had President Obama come over here just a few weeks ago, lecturing the British people, saying that if you don't stay in, well, you're going to have to go to the back of the line. with respect to trade with the United States. He came over here threatening the UK. So there's a lot of forces working against those in favor of the Brexit movement. But still, as I say, it's gaining some momentum. But coming back to his point, I mean, if you don't see what a vote to stay means, you're not paying attention. And then Heffer says here, it's not war we should fear. Well, we would we wouldn't agree with that. But notice what he says. It's not war we should fear, but what the Germans do in peace. And that last bit of the statement there made me think of what Mr. Armstrong said back in 1945. What the Germans do in peace, the gains that the Germans are making right now. Mr. Armstrong writing in 1945, this was while attending the San Francisco Cisco conference for the founding of the United Nations. He said the war is over. This is right at the tail end. May 9th, 1945, the war is over in Europe, or is it? We need to wake up and realize that right now is the most dangerous moment in United States national history, instead of assuming we now have peace. Why was it dangerous right then and there? He said here, this is again at this UN conference, men plan here to preserve the peace of the world. What most do not know is that the Germans have their plans for winning the battle of the peace. They have their own plans for winning the battle of the peace. Mr. Armstrong says, yes, I said battle of the peace. He said this in 1945. That's the kind of battle we Americans don't know. We know only one kind of war. We've never lost a war, he said in 1945. That is a military war, but we've never won a conference where leaders of other nations outfox us in the battle for the peace. And so that's what's happening. And you see it if you're paying attention. You see it. The other nations around Germany are being outfoxed. And it doesn't go back to just the last few years, or since 2011. It's since the war ended. Think about that clip I played earlier from the Brexit video. And then just this, as many call it, this miraculous turnaround. And America was there helping them along. I mean, it gives credit to that economic minister, Earhart, getting rid of the regulations and such. But a lot of it was brought on by aid from the United States. Well, but like the video brings out, Britain received aid as well. So how come there wasn't this equally stunning turnaround? As it was, like Mr. Armstrong writes in the United States and Britain in Prophecy, the sun set on the British Empire. The British Empire lost all of this wealth, lost all of its Commonwealth nations. The empire closed up shop. In Germany, on the other hand, there's been this miraculous turnaround. And they're getting one victory after another. One victory after another in this battle for the peace. In all of these battles that precede the hot war, the next world war, it's already conquered Europe financially. But it's going to lead to a lot more than that. That's what your Bible says. Mr. Armstrong said, this is in 1945, we don't understand German thoroughness. From the very start of World War II, they have considered the possibility of losing this second round, as they did the first. And they have carefully, methodically planned in such eventuality the third round, World War III. Hitler has lost. This round of war in Europe is over, and the Nazis have now gone underground. They plan to come back and to win on the third try. Will you scoff? Will you mock, like so many others have done over the years? Like so many did even before World War II broke out. Look at Winston Churchill. Look at how he was ridiculed. Look at how he was made fun of. Look at how his voice was silenced. With the nation only turning to him, when it was right in the midst of hot war, world war. Even in that era, there weren't that many people, not nearly enough, who were paying attention. They weren't paying attention to all of these headlines, to all of these prophecies. Looking at it today, let's go back to what my father said in that program, the Fourth Reich, which went to air September 25th in 2011. This is clip four.
This is actually the news of the century. What could be more alarming than this? And frankly, what could be more wonderful when you realize it's all tied to the second coming of Jesus Christ? I mean, this is the news of the all of man's history. This is it. This is the great news of all man's history. This is it. It all culminates in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to stop the madness in this world. What a wonderful truth that is. And how sad that so few understand it. And they scoffed at Mr. Armstrong when he talked about Germany rising from the ruins and becoming perhaps more powerful than the United States or Britain or any superpower in the world. That is amazing.
That's amazing, as he says there. They scoffed. They scoffed. There's so many Bible verses, of course, that even refer to that. In these latter days, I was reading this morning myself a few verses over in Jude, verses 17, 18, 19, I think it was. Jude 17 here, it says, "But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." That's talking about the last days. In fact, as my father brings out in his booklet on the Epistle of Jude, it's even referring to measuring moments, minutes. The very last minutes, there would be mockers who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Peter, of course, said some of the same things about scoffers coming in the last days. They scoffed at Mr. Armstrong. Well, even as recently as a few years ago, they were scoffing at an article by Simon Heffer at the Telegraph. And I suppose even after the article appeared yesterday in the Telegraph, there were still those that were scoffing, saying, "Oh, well, here goes Simon Heffer again with his Fourth Reich thing." Or, "Well, there goes Boris Johnson again, saying that the EU is trying to dominate the continent the same way that Hitler did." Just ridiculous. Who would say such a thing? Well, more and more are saying it. And God lays it all out there in the Scriptures. And not just in those two passages, Daniel 2, Revelation 17, and Isaiah 10. He talks about raising up the Assyrian, or rather using the Assyrian Empire as the rod of his anger. God says he's going to send him against a hypocritical nation. That German-led empire that's now forming in Europe, it's a tool in God's hands. It's a tool that God uses, a rod that he uses to correct hypocritical people. And so when you see all these headlines, and look, Simon Heffer's not alone. As I said, I've got one here in my notes now that I see. This is from Spiegel last year, about a year ago. The Fourth Reich, what some Europeans see when they look at Germany. It's like Simon Heffer says, you don't believe me? Ask the people of Greece. Ask the people of Greece what they think. Whether or not they think that this is a Fourth Reich. You better open your eyes. If you think anything different, you're not paying attention. We should be fearing what the Germans are doing in the battle for the peace. It's just like Mr. Armstrong said. This is a battle that we don't know anything about. We know about war, and even those, since World War II, those have turned out a lot different for the United States. But we've never won a conference, he said. We're being outfoxed. And you see it not just with Germany, you see it with one example after another. We're being outfoxed. The Fourth Reich, that's the way many Europeans now see Germany today. Of course, the Reich, that word means empire. The Holy Roman Empire, the seventh and final resurrection of this Holy Roman Empire. This is an empire that's imposing the will of one nation in particular over others. And of course, you look into history and you see it takes place a lot by force. Nations using weapons, guns, soldiers, and so on. But that's what's so stunning about what's happening now. Here's Germany. And look at all that it's been able to accomplish through economic means, primarily. This whole union, it's, as Bernard Connolly said, it's a cloak for German ambitions. And many, many more are starting to wake up to that fact. He wrote that back in the mid-90s, I believe, Connolly. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, our headquarters campus. The live stream's available at our websites, thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. Don't forget to send us some emails this week. As the week unfolds, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
God was speaking. I mean, we're living through it. We're seeing it. If we're paying attention, we're seeing it. But not too many people are paying attention. A lot of people don't believe it. Still, they don't believe it. A lot will scoff. There's going to be mockers in the last time, as Jude said. Before I get into this piece by Tim Ross, this other headline that got quite a bit of attention, let me just play one final clip for you from my father's program. This one titled The Fourth Reich, which was broadcast on September 25th, 2011. This is clip three.
Notice what he said in 1956. Mr. Armstrong wrote that the Europeans were, quote, thinking more and more about the coming United States of Europe. Europe is going to unite against us. And now Europe is about ready for it. The stage is all set. All that's lacking now is the strong leader, the coming Führer. Now, who could that be? This was 1954. And all Europe needed even then was the strong man. And he's about to come on the scene.
That's from 1954, an article that my father's quoting from there in that 2011 broadcast. It's just an empire waiting for the emperor, as he's said before, my father. The Daniel 8 man is about to come on the scene. Now you look at history. Coming to this Telegraph piece now. It writes here, Tim Ross does, an article about his interview with Boris Johnson. Ross says the European Union is pursuing a similar goal to Hitler in trying to create a powerful superstate, Boris Johnson says. They're trying to create a powerful superstate. And in that way, they have a similar goal to Adolf Hitler. Again, they're just accomplishing this, not yet. With the tanks and the boats and the bombs. They're accomplishing it now through economic means primarily. It says in a dramatic interview with the Telegraph, Johnson warns that while bureaucrats in Brussels are using different methods from the Nazi dictator, they share the aim of unifying Europe under one authority. And again, this is what Hitler wanted. It's just that he took off right away with the guns and the soldiers and the tanks and the boats and the bombs. Today they're using different methods so far. It says here, but the EU's disastrous failures have fueled tensions between member states and allowed Germany to grow in power. All of these crises. It's just allowed Germany to build up its empire, to grow in power, to conquer. Through economic means. Ask Greece. It's allowed Germany to grow in power, take over the Italian economy, and destroy Greece, Johnson warns. Again, let me just repeat this. To take over the Italian economy and to destroy Greece. Are we paying attention? Are our eyes open? It says, but the EU's disastrous failures have fueled tensions between, well, I just read that. Mr. Johnson invokes Winston Churchill's wartime defiance, urging the British people to be the heroes of Europe again. Set the country free and save the EU from itself by voting to leave in the referendum next month. Here's another one. Strong supporter for Brexit. We've got to follow the example of Churchill. We've got to be the heroes of Europe. We've got to save Britain. And thereby save the EU, so he thinks. But the history that he brings out, what a lesson. It says the former mayor of London, who is a keen classical scholar, argues that the past 2,000 years of European history have been characterized by repeated attempts to unify Europe under a single government in order to recover the continent's lost golden age under the Romans. It's the Holy Roman Empire. That has been the history. And all of it was prophesied. All of it was prophesied. And here's an individual that at least understands a good bit of the history. He says Napoleon, Hitler, various people tried this out, and it ends tragically. They've tried it out. That's right. You have the peaks and the valleys, just like Revelation 17 brings out. It's been tried and tried again. And it's going to be put into effect one last time. It's amazing. The EU's there attempting to do it by different methods, the Telegraph says. But it's the same goal. It's the same ambition. It's the same spirit of Charlemagne. And it's the same German dominance. Well, it's not that Germany's dominated all seven resurrections, but they've certainly dominated quite a few. And Mr. Armstrong felt strongly back in the 1950s that these 10 nations that come together, that they would be dominated by Germany. The Telegraph piece says, but fundamentally, what is lacking is the eternal problem, which is that there is no underlying loyalty to the idea of Europe. There's no single authority that anybody respects or understands. This is causing this massive democratic void. Well, as the article concludes there, that just reinforces the point that we've made over and again. When the strong man finally arrives, you're going to see some even further dramatic changes and adjustments and downsizing and coalescing together. We may be about to see one here in just a little over a month. A dramatic shift, that is. And what kind of an impact could that have on Europe? Should Britain leave or be kicked out, whatever way it happens, it's going to happen. I read an article to you last week, I think it was, that talked about how that this would only intensify the calls for coming together with this strong political union and eventually a military union. Germany's already increasing those efforts. It's already building up its military at a time when, as it happens, the U.S. and Britain are downsizing. It's already conquered Europe financially, as my father said 5 years ago. But it's going to lead to a lot more than that. And that's why our eyes are open to these prophecies, like in Daniel 8, where it speaks of that man, the empire is already there. It's just waiting for the emperor. And he gets into office through flattery. Satan, of course, is behind this individual. And when he gets there, when he appears, the Bible says he will destroy wonderfully. He'll destroy. He'll come in acting like he wants peace. But he's lying. He'll be lying when he says that. What he actually will want is to rule the world. And so much so that he defiantly stands up against Jesus Christ. Well, as my father said, it really is the best news there is, because it culminates in the return of Jesus Christ, who's coming back to this earth to finally put a stop to the madness. This is the news of the century, as my father said in that clip. This is the news of all history. And that's why we've been talking about it for as long as we have been, and as excitedly as we have been. You can feel that excitement, that enthusiasm from Mr. Armstrong when you hear those old clips. And here we are today, seeing it all play out just exactly as he said that it would. Seeing it if, to go back to what Simon Heffer said, if we're paying attention. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show as we put the finishing touches on yet another broadcast kicking off this week. This is 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, North Edmond, right around our headquarters campus. And the live stream's available at our websites. And you can send your comments through to our email address, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.